So last week when we were together, we talked about the importance of engaging with God's word, the importance of reading the Bible because God is real, he's alive, and he truly speaks to us. God talks to us in his written word. That's his plan, his way he orchestrated to communicate with us. And so church, we really got to believe that and act on that if we want any sort of solid relationship with God, or especially if we want to follow Jesus more. And so that was last week, which now this week brings us fittingly to talk about prayer, or simply said, talking back to God. And to do so, we will be here in Luke 10 and Luke 11, but mainly in chapter 11, as you'll see. And concerning what we're going to be talking about this morning, let me just say, I really do hope that this is the most practical message that we've had in a long time here at ECC, the most practical. And now it's true that in order to be actually practical and have God's blessing behind it, what we say and act on will, of course, have to be from God's word, and Lord willing, it will be. But that said, again, I do hope and think that this is going to be an extra practical message where you're going to leave here with less just information to know about prayer, but things to practically go do in your life and in your praying. And think of it, being practical like that, I think, is especially important concerning this topic of prayer, because let's just get it out there. Even for us as Christians, right, prayer can be hard. And sadly, we often just don't do it that much. And not only that, but then when we do pray, let's be honest again, it often can be so quick and half-hearted, and or our prayers are just full of specific requests that we think we need or want, which shows that sometimes we don't really want to spend time with God and talk to God very much, or Jesus, but we really, at the end of the day, just want what he can give us. And now, to be clear, it's not bad at all to talk to God about your needs or desires. And in fact, God is our Father. Jesus is going to tell us that. He loves us, and so he cares what's going on in our lives and in our hearts. But imagine if, say, I said I loved my wife, but then, number one, I talked with her only a couple minutes a day, quickly. And then number two, when I did talk to her, I really only told her the things that I wanted from her. Right? You get the point. And so that's us, and usually our struggle we have with prayer. And yet, on the more positive side, I do think that, yes, a lot of that, the reason we don't pray like that is a lack of love for God and motivation and discipline, etc. But also, I do think a big part of it is we often just don't know what to do in prayer as well. You feel that? And seriously, I get it, because we can finally get disciplined enough to get to the place where we're going to find time to pray. But then we might get there and feel and wonder, but what do I really do now? Or how is it truly possible to have a deeper conversation with God and to pray for any real amount of time without being bored or distracted or just wanting to move on? And the point is, again, I do hope this morning will help a lot with that. I hope that our time being super practical from Luke 10 and 11 here will help each of us not just know more about prayer, but rather, because of what we're going to see, that we maybe each, more than ever, go out and actually pray a lot more this year. Really pray to our God often in our lives. That's the goal. But anyway, so that's a lofty setup, and I kind of realized that. But before we do dive into all that, that does bring us now, though, to our outline and how we're going to strive to be so practical here from Luke 10 and 11, our outline. And so, simply stated, as you can see probably if you have a bulletin in the message title, we're going to have three sections here from Luke 10 and 11, three sections, and they can be summed up with those simple words: why, how, and what. Why, how, and what? Meaning first, we'll be ending Luke 10 and going into chapter 11, and actually Luke 10, 41 through 11, 1. And there, we're going to see pretty quickly three reasons why we pray. Three, hopefully, stirring reasons why. Which then second will lead us into one massive thing concerning how we pray from verse 2. How. And just so you know, that is my favorite verse in the whole New Testament. to explain how, and it's really simple. And so second, we'll do that. But then third and finally, all that will climactically lead us into Jesus' example of prayer in verses 2-4. And there, we'll really talk about what to pray, what. And it's there, above all, that I do think that if we use what Jesus brilliantly said there, and not just use it and kind of rote thing we say, kind of like we sometimes do with the Lord's Prayer, but instead, if we really use it in the way that we're going to talk about, I do think all of us can leave here and pray a ton more this year. A ton more. And so third, we'll do that, talking about what to talk about to God in prayer. And so that's where we're going, church. Once again, I hope it's super practical, looking at first, some reasons why we pray. Second, a massive how we pray. And then third, what to even talk about in prayer. But all said, let's just dive in and then begin our first section in Luke 10:41-11:1. And here again, we're going to see three quick reasons why we pray. And just to be clear, these reasons are not exhaustive, nor are they necessarily the main reasons in God's word as a whole that we pray, but they're in our passage here in God's word, and so they're good for us to consider. Plus, they practically may lead us to pray more. But we will go through them kind of quickly. Before we get into them first, let's just read these verses. So look down at verse 41 of chapter 10. And as for context, you may know this is the ending of that story about Mary and Martha. And in that account, Jesus came into their home and Mary decided to, as verse 39 said, she, quote, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. While Martha, you might know, decided not to do that, she decided to spend her energy and time serving. And to Martha, this is now what Jesus, the Lord, said to her. So let's read that. Verse 41, and we'll go to the beginning of chapter 11. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So we'll stop there for now. And okay, so let's talk about three reasons why we pray from those verses. Three answers as to why. And we'll actually go upwards in the text to do so, meaning we're going to start at the end of verse 1. And so first, reason number 1 is at the end of verse 1. And what do we see there? Well, we see that we should pray because, well, the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray, and we know it's then Jesus who answered their request. It's Jesus who decided to help them out, and that shows us concerning why we should pray. Well, clearly Jesus wants us to, right? And not only does he want us to, but he decided to answer when asked to be taught to pray, which really proves that Jesus knows that A, prayer is hard since it needs to be taught, and B, Jesus wants to help us with that difficulty in prayer. All right, so reason number 1, that's why we pray, because Jesus wants us to. He wants to teach us about it, which next quickly, though, as well, leads to reason number 2, and this is now seen at the beginning of verse 1. Right, notice the opening words of this chapter 11, quote, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And you can feel it. What's that show us? Well, that Jesus went to a certain place, which right there, that points us to something we should probably do in our prayer. But the reason concerning why we pray here is, well, Jesus himself prayed. The Jesus we're following, right? And therefore, as you've probably heard before, it's true. If Jesus prayed, right, and we're sinful while he isn't. Plus, if we want to be more like Jesus, then we need to pray as well. Okay, so thus far, reason 1, because Jesus wants us to pray, he teaches us. Reason number 2, because Jesus prayed. But that then finally does bring us to what I think is the biggest reason we pray from these verses. And this is less obvious from this passage at first, but this is a great example of where we need to realize that the gospel book writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everyone agrees that when you study it and how they wrote things and where they placed their stories, it was very intentional and important. And I think we definitely see that here. And by the way, this connects a lot to what we're doing to start off the new year with our Bible reading and prayer series. And so why is all that? Well, think about that story with Mary and Martha again. What was the point of that? Well, it was that, as we just heard Jesus himself say to us, it was about how Mary had chosen the good portion in stopping and listening to Jesus. While Martha, she was anxious doing, serving, and she didn't take the time to listen to Jesus. She decided to really kind of above all not take the time and listen to Jesus. And then the next story in God's word, you can see it. It's about prayer. And I don't think that's random. Rather, in God's providence, we have an account all about hearing from Jesus, listening, and how that's so important and foundational. Because church, it is that most foundational of all, we need to listen to and hear from God, from Jesus. And I mean, have you ever actually thought about that? How foundational listening to God is? And I want to be careful here because yes, both Bible reading and prayer are of course important, but you could sense it logically, if we had to choose one, which we don't, but if we had to logically, it makes sense. Actually, hearing from God and listening to Jesus is more important because hearing what God has to say to us is technically going to be much more important than what we have to say to him. All right, so that's foundational. That's what Jesus decides to call the good portion. But then, understandably, we also talk in response to God. And so it's no coincidence that the next account here is all about that, about prayer. And the point is that does connect to us because an answer then to why we pray, it's because as for what prayer is, it's not just us talking to God, but technically it's us responding to God, right? And so we should be people who, yes, choose the good portion and actually frequently read our Bibles. And then though, we also should speak back to God. And that's a reason to pray because that's us having a relationship with God, right? Hearing from him like Mary chose to, and then praying like Jesus did and like Jesus is about to teach us in this passage. All right, so that's our first section concerning why we pray. And quickly, just to summarize that for ourselves, number one, we pray because Jesus told us, or Jesus taught us, and it is hard. Number two, we pray because Jesus prayed. We want to be like him. Number three, we pray because we listen to God and his word, and we speak that back to him as well. And the point is for us that we should remember those reasons if you can. And practically, what we should do with them is use them to at least get to the point of praying. Because again, as we're really trying to be practical this morning, that I think is the main takeaway just so far. Use those reasons or anything else, whatever strikes you, to actually get to the point where you're about to pray. All right, so that's the first section concerning why, which now, next, does lead us into the second, where we'll focus on how we pray. And this is super simple, but also incredibly practical, and I mean it. What we're about to talk about can, and I hope does, absolutely change your praying, because I've seen it personally in my own life, and in my time in ministry, I have seen this change the lives and the prayer lives of many others. And now, as for what it is, it's thinking about something that Jesus himself says here in verse 2, and actually just the first half of verse 2. So now look down at your Bibles again, and we're going to reread verse 1 for context, and then just the first half of verse 2. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say," and we'll stop there for now. Okay, so I just want to let you know that what I'm about to talk about, I learned or heard first while reading a Bible teaching from one of my favorite pastors who lived in the middle of the 20th century. His name is Francis Schaeffer. And Schaeffer and his wife had a place called Le Brie where they often took in people who were either atheists or totally agnostic or just needed somewhere to go. And what they did is they did a good job just kind of explaining to them the truths of Christianity. And also what they did is they made things that are often confusing to non-Christians and even sometimes to Christians, they took those things and made them understandable and relatable. And I say all of that because perhaps one of the best examples of that is how he took this verse you just heard read in verse 2 to explain prayer. And ever since I read it from Schaeffer, I've been using it to explain how to pray as well. And what is it? Well, notice, Jesus says very clearly, in answer to the request, teach us to pray, he starts with, when you pray, say. Say, that's the word to focus on, say. And now, why is that such an important word from Jesus? Why is that, number one, so simple but profound, and yet also so simple and practical? Well, first, as for simple and profound, think of it. This is so simple, but it is also profound from Jesus, because this is Jesus right away using another verb to define what the kind of religious-sounding verb to pray is. You get that? Because we might wonder, what is this religious verb to pray actually talking about? Right back then and still today. Well, Jesus says it involves saying, speaking. And in fact, just want to be clear, that is the most basic Greek verb for to say, to speak, that he uses. And so what's prayer? How do we pray? Well, we speak. We talk. That's the action. Right? Jesus says that. Jesus says, when you pray, we might feel, oh no, what is this going to be about? Prayer sounds like this big religious thing. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, speak, talk. All right, so you can see that. That's here. But now, really practically, let's think about why that has been for me and why it has been for many others, prayer changing and even potentially life changing. And I really do hope, brothers and sisters, that it can be so for so many more of you in this room. And so why is that so practical? Well, to set this up, listen to this. So I was looking up prayer statistics this week, and this one struck me by far the most. Barna Group, which is a big Christian polling agency, basically, they interviewed people who said that they prayed regularly, and they asked them how they prayed. How? And guess what? A whopping 83% of people who said they prayed regularly said they prayed silently. Silently. Let me say that again. 83% of people said they prayed silently. Meaning, when they prayed, they did it silently in their heads. Or to use Jesus' language, when they did this, when you pray, say thing, they did it silently. Not talking out loud with their mouths or their voices at all, but just in their heads. Again, that is what by far the vast majority of Christians said they did when they prayed. That's how they prayed. And now, let me be really clear. There's a few, but really only a few, places in the Bible where it is clear that that, of course, is totally fine. Because yes, you can pray silently and God can hear. He's God after all. So yes, he hears what's going on in our thoughts. You can pray to him silently. And yet, first, that's actually very much less so how we encounter this idea of praying in the Bible, because almost always in this book, prayers are spoken out loud with voices and mouths. But honestly, second, even probably bigger than that for us, think again about this most basic verb say that Jesus decides to use here. It means to talk, to speak. And so here's the big, massively practical point. How often do you, as just a human being, talk, speak, communicate with anyone silently? I mean, how often do you talk, speak to anyone without actually talking and only doing it in your head? How natural, normal, or even doable is that, right, for any amount of time? And we all know it. The answer is we basically never speak like that, because sure, we might talk to ourselves in our heads from time to time. And yes, we just talked about God, of course, can hear us when we do that. But think of this. If that is how you're actually trying to talk with God and spend time in prayer and have a better relationship with him, then no wonder it's extra hard and can feel so weird. Because who else do we silently talk to? And in fact, think of this, silently talking is basically an oxymoron, right? That's the point. And so it's no wonder that it feels so strange to us and it's hard to talk to God for any amount of time. And that's why this is so practical that Jesus said, when you pray, say. Because now, yes, again, we can say in multiple ways, again, we can talk in our heads, or especially I want to say this, it's true that in our day and age, we do say a lot in writing or typing, for example. And so feel free to, for example, to write prayers in your journal to God, or to even open up a Word document and type if that's actually helpful to you. But that said, above all, and we all have to agree with this, above all, what's the most common and natural way for you and me to speak and to say? Well, such an obvious question, but to make it clear, we say by speaking and talking. And so again, the simple practical takeaway is, and therefore, from this verb from Jesus, if you want to pray deeper and more, then yes, you can use it other ways like journaling and typing, but above all, as for how we should pray, and please, please try to do this, talk out loud to God. Talk with your mouth to God, since he's a real person and it's an actual conversation. And think of this, just to support this, by the way, we know that Jesus himself talked out loud when he prayed, almost, or usually, if not always, because his disciples often told us and they heard what he said. And again, just read your Bibles. That's all over the Bible. And now all that said, to get even more practical before we do move on, just want to make it clear that does not mean that you have to talk at a certain volume per se, right? That doesn't matter as much. And also, yes, let's be clear on this. Doing this might make it more awkward for those who are around you, which is why to truly do this, you do probably need to find some place, a room or a closet where this talking out loud can happen. But now consider this, that even fits the biblical picture a lot more, doesn't it? Like Jesus here going to a certain place to pray. Or like Jesus told us in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room. And so yes, volume matters less. And yes, if you don't want others to hear, you'll need to go somewhere to do this. But more important than those things, one last time, is using your mouth, your voice, your lips to talk. And so really try that concerning how you pray. You might see it is prayer changing. Talk to God, speak like you normally do. Maybe even open your eyes pretty frequently as you do so. Or you, if you're somebody like that, like this, use your hands as you talk to him, right? I use my hands as I talk. And so use your hands often when you're talking to God, all because it really is a conversation. Because no wonder prayer feels so weird and foreign if we think it's the silent, hands folded, only or mainly in my head thing. Right? That's nearly impossible to do for any amount of time. Instead, as Jesus said, when you pray, say. All right, that's our second section. And again, hopefully you can see that's quite practical. That leads us finally, though, just as practically, I think, to our third and last section, where we'll be answering what we can pray about, what we can talk about to God, with God. And for this, we'll be looking at what Jesus says now in verses 2-4. And just so you know, this is Jesus obviously teaching the Lord's Prayer, but in a different setting than he did in the Matthew 6 prayer. And that's why, as you're about to see, these lines are slightly different, because Jesus, the best rabbi and teacher, right, he repeated the same things many times, but we know he often said them in different ways on purpose. And quickly, even think of this, that right there does show us that Jesus didn't intend the more famous Matthew 6 version of the Lord's Prayer to just be something we say word for word and then kind of be done with it. Because again, here he repeats it, but he makes it slightly different. But that said, so what we're going to do now, though, is just going to dig into what Jesus says here. And we'll do so by first just initially going through these verses and quickly getting the gist of what Jesus is saying. We'll do that more briefly, but that'll then second after that lead us to go back through these lines again and super practically think about how what Jesus says here helps us a ton concerning what we can and should talk about in our praying. But that said, before we even get into any of that, though, let's just look at verses 2-4. Let's look down at your Bibles. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. All right, so again, let's just now quickly go through each line and get the gist of what Jesus is saying, and then we'll come back and make it super practical going through the lines again. And so first, to begin here, you can see Jesus starts with that word Father, showing us that God is our Father in Christ who loves us, right, which was and still is a massive deal. Then there's that famous hallowed be your name line. And remember, hallowed is just the old English word for to make or to see as holy. And so that's about us and others seeing how holy, meaning how set apart and powerful and loving and good God is. Then the next line is your kingdom come. And that's obviously about God's good reign and his ways coming more here. And think of it, that mainly includes, number one, the gospel of the kingdom spreading now so that people can enter the kingdom. Number two, it includes people living in light of the kingdom. And of course, number three, it includes Jesus the King finally coming back here. Then now line three, in verse three, Jesus next says, give us each day our daily bread. And that's obviously asking God to give us what we need. Right, to live, to survive, and it's asking what we need today. That's why it says our daily bread. Plus, just so you know, if you have the ESV, you can see in the footnote, it's interesting, that could also be legitimately translated as our bread for tomorrow. And so this prayer is about what we need today or in the future, like tomorrow. And then finally, in this version of the Lord's Prayer, you can notice that's there the first time that us comes up. Right? Not just me, but us. And so this line shows us that we're not just to pray for our needs, but for others' needs as well. Then line four, in verse four now, and forgive us our sins. Right? That obviously shows us that we need forgiveness. And since it's praying to our Father who loves us, we know he's the one who can forgive us, which is part of the good news of the kingdom. Then line five, quote, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And that is the most specific line out of this whole prayer from Jesus. But in short, it does show that Jesus assumes that we, his people, we forgive others. That we're loving and forgiving towards others since Jesus loves and forgives us. And then finally, line six, and lead us not into temptation, which obviously shows us that in our lives we need God's guidance and help, right? So Jesus tells us to say to God, asking him to not sin, or asking God to help us not sin and to even lead us far away from any temptation. All right, so that was a lot, but that was just the basic gist of these lines. But that said, now with that understood, let's now get super duper practical. And as we do so, here's where we also, I think, start to appreciate this prayer from Jesus even more, especially, I think, this Luke 11 prayer version, which doesn't get as much credit as the Matthew 6 one. And so, okay, now for this, let's go back through each line and look at your Bibles as you can. And as you do so, think of this. Say you've gotten down to pray. All right, you're ready to speak to God. And now the question is, what do you talk about? What should I speak, say, talk to God about? Well, look at what Jesus says now with that in mind. Line one, Father, hallowed be your name. In prayer, we can read that, and then we can use that to especially know we're talking to our Father, meaning we can use that word Father to then talk about to God about his care and his love. And then concerning that hallowed be your name part, then we can use that to just go off and talk a bunch about God in general and who he is and how great he is and what he's done. Meaning practically, you can read that first line out loud from God, and then you can speak to God about how he's your Father. And then you can talk about God himself. God, thank you for your love and your care. I pray that others may see that you're so loving in this or that way. Or more generally, just talk to God about anything you love about him. Like, God, I thank you that you're so powerful. I'm amazed that you made this whole universe. Or God, I'm thankful that you're so wise because right now I don't feel very wise. Anything. Because the point is, in terms of God being hallowed, that is simply him being recognized and praised for how amazing and beautiful that he truly is. And so one last time, you and I can just read that line and use it to speak and talk in response to God. Then, moving on, line two, Jesus next says that we should pray, your kingdom come. And now think of this. We can use that line now to pray about first the gospel of the kingdom, remember? And you can personally thank God how he has saved you in that gospel. Or you can use that line to talk to God about others who you know have not embraced the gospel of the kingdom yet. They're not in the kingdom. Or more broadly, right, you can use that line to pray for something going on in the world. Or you can use that line to pray for Jesus the King to finally come back. You get the point. And so you can see, already, we got a lot to talk about, A lot you can talk about. Our Father, who God is, what he's done, his gospel, the kingdom coming more in this world. Plus, think of this, we've now started this real conversation with God in a great way as well. Right, starting by talking about God and his fatherly love and talking about who he is and then his good news, which are all realities which aren't just important, but thinking about those, talking about those, it reorients us. Or better yet, it helps us not just be people who go to God in our prayers just asking for this or that thing that I know that I need. And finally, before we move on, think of this as well. I bet each of us in this room could talk about how God is your Father for a couple minutes at least, right? Or you could talk about things that just personally amaze you about God for a good amount of time as well. And then you could definitely talk about this world and its need for the gospel or anything else for a long time as well. Right? All of us in our talking could do that. And then, moving on, imagine you're praying still then. That would lead to the next line, the very practical, give us each day our daily bread. And now there, you can probably sense it. We can use that line to now just generally pray about our needs and any specific needs that might come up and needs we have today since it's our daily bread. But then remember, brilliantly, that word could also be translated as bread for tomorrow. And so we could use to talk about any upcoming needs as well. And then finally on that line, remember that word us, because again, that means that this isn't just about us, but now, or me personally, but this is where we can pray for others as well, right? And their needs that come to mind. And so I hope you're tracking so far. We've got talking about our Father, about God, about the gospel and the kingdom. And now we've got our needs and today's and tomorrow's and others' needs today and in the future. And again, if I were to say to you, God is really listening to you and he wants to answer you. And so now talk to him about what you really think you need, or talk to him about others and what you really think they need. I bet all of us in this room could talk for a good amount of time. Then moving on, the next line is forgive us our sins. And now in prayer, you and I can use that as another gospel reminder since Jesus does forgive us, but especially that line there now, church, is a great place for us to confess and repent of our sins as well to our God. And simply said, that actually is quite helpful and it matters a ton because confession and repentance should be a part of our talking to God, right? Because we do have a lot of messed upness about us, and we have ways that we've offended and not lived in light of God's kingdom. And so it is good for us to bring any of that to him while knowing that he knows us already, he embraces us in the gospel, and he truly forgives us. There's a massive peace in being honest about who you are and what you've done and taking that to God and finding always in Jesus his forgiveness and his embrace. And so again, if I were to say to you, God really loves you. And so right now, be real, be honest with him, and just talk to him about how you know you've messed up and ways that you want to turn from your sin and follow him more. If prompted like that, I bet all of us in this room could talk out loud for a good amount of time. Then continuing on, remember Jesus' next and most specific line is about, quote, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And specifically in prayer, we can now use that line to make sure that, yes, we've actually forgiven others. That you can see it, since we're Christians, we are to forgive as Jesus forgives. We should hear that line and kind of make sure that we're not holding any grudges. But then more generally, consider we could use that line to now just pray about our love for others more generally, asking Jesus to help us love others more. All right, that's the more general way to see that. God, I forgive this person and I want to love this person more than I have. Because remember, Jesus told us the commandments are summed up in loving God and loving people. And again, if I were to ask anyone in this room to talk for a while about people you know you want to love more, people you want to just treat differently, at home, at work, in your neighborhood, or in the world at large, I bet you could talk for a good amount of time. Which then finally, that then leads to that last line where Jesus closes with, and lead us not into temptation. And remember, that's clearly there because it's asking God to help us avoid temptation, to follow him better, to not sin, to be more faithful. And you can tell that is super practical as well. especially as we close this prayer, because we're now finishing this prayer and we know, sure, that this or that thing might be coming up in my life, or that I've been struggling with this or that thing in my actions, my words, my mind, whatever it may be. And so the point is, talk to God about that as well and ask him for that guidance and that help, whatever comes to mind. All right. So I know that was a lot, but that said, I hope you feel it. All that is super doable and practical. Because as for what this praying thing is, it's literally going somewhere and usually speaking out loud to a real person, to our Father, and about what? Well, it's a quick summary now. You can look down if you want. Imagine you're there about to pray. With you, you know God is there. You read line one. You remember that God loves you as a father in Christ. So then you talk to him about that. And then you just talk about him, about God for some time, whatever comes to mind. And then you read line two and you talk about God's kingdom, about the gospel that saved you, about the gospel going forth more, about this world and whatever comes to mind, or about Jesus to come back. You hope in God like that. And then after some time, you read line three. You talk about your own needs. And then you talk about others' needs today and tomorrow. Then you read line four and you confess and you're honest and you repent and you know that in Christ God forgives you and embraces you from anything. And then you read line five and you talk to God about forgiving others and loving others. And finally, you read line six and you ask God for him to help you with any temptations or anything that might come up. Do you see, church, that if we've done that, if you've done that, you have basically covered every major topic that the Bible tells you to pray for. And I mean that. Let me say that again. You have basically covered every major topic and every basic aspect of prayer that the Bible tells us to pray for and pray with. Because in all that, if you look back, you can see there's praise and adoration about God and the gospel and Jesus' coming and his kingdom. There's petitions, right, for ourselves. There's supplications and intercessions for others. There's repentance and embracing forgiveness. And sprinkled throughout, there's this thankfulness and hope and faith in God. That's all involved if we just take time and go line by line through what Jesus told us to say. And therefore, basically, I hope you now feel it. That's why this prayer from Jesus is so helpful, because it can really lead us to pray more and about so much. Plus, again, here's the big point this morning. You and I, we can do this. You can do that. And now, as we start to come to a close, let me say, that doesn't mean that after all that, that automatically you will want to do this. I want to be clear. That's actually a totally different question. And to be honest, that's kind of more so of a, have you genuinely personally embraced the gospel question? Because honestly, if you're here and you kind of don't really want to pray at all, then you should probably question if you've genuinely embraced Jesus. Not because praying earns your salvation, but because think of it, those that God saves by his gospel, by his grace through faith alone, well, we love him back, right? We love Jesus. And so we want a better relationship with him every day. And so we want to pray better. We want to talk to God more. And importantly, this is important, even when we're feeling at the moment that we know we don't want to pray, we at least as Christians want it, right? And so that's us. But the question then always is, but how? And what do I talk about? And that's where I hope this morning has been helpful, because it's a quick summary now. Remember, the how is that we speak, we say, we talk to God just like you talk to anyone else. And so please do that usually in your praying. Most of the time, use your voice. Talk like you talk to everyone else. And then as for what to say, just please remember Luke 11 here. And in fact, I encourage you right now, if you want, put that little ribbon thing, you know, what was this for? Put that little ribbon in your Bible in Luke 11, if that helps, because let's be real. When the time comes that you actually get down and you want to pray, your own sin, Satan himself maybe, or the world at large, especially these days and all these distractions, they will try to stop you from actually then doing it and praying. And so for us, what we should do is we kind of get away from all that. We open up to Luke 11 and we talk with God. And what do we talk about? Line one, talk about your Father, about God himself. Line two, the gospel and the kingdom. Line three, your needs, others' needs. Line four, confess, repent, embrace forgiveness. Line five, talk about others and forgiving them. And line six, talk about asking God to help you sin less and love more and lead not in temptation. If you do those things, you can imagine, you can actually pray for a good amount of time. You can actually have a real conversation with God. Church, that's prayer. We hear God in his word, we talk back to him. And that means finally, prayer therefore is not supposed to be this impressive monologue thing where you and I just try to talk and talk and talk without stopping. Because now consider that. How often do you do that in your daily life? That is really unnatural, except for unique situations like what's going on right now. And so really, instead of that, like in all conversations, talking to God is talking out loud, topic by topic, in a conversation format where he speaks to us in his word, we listen, and then we talk back over and over. That's what God wants for us. Or as Jesus said, when you pray, say, amen. Amen. Let's now do that together, church. Let's pray.